Our scripture reading comes from two different places today, but you don't have to look up Genesis 1. We all know that one. Okay, so just turn with me to Colossians 1. Let's see, verses 15 through 20, and that's page 1676 in your pew Bible. Colossians 1, starting with verse 15. But Genesis 1, verse 1 is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this ties in with it. Hear the word of God from Colossians 1, verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Dear congregation, everybody believes in something. Some things are not that important and are basically called subjective. And an example of that would be, I think butter pecan ice cream is just the very best. But that's subjective, because you're sitting there saying, boy, haven't you ever had chocolate? Now, some things are very important. Things like, I believe in one God. But somebody else might say, I believe in God, but I believe there might be more than one God. Or things like, I believe in a heaven, I believe in a hell, or I don't believe in either. We can't believe things that are mutually exclusive. That's a basic law of philosophy. Anything that is mutually exclusive, we can't believe. I can't say there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And then say, I think a lot of people will end up there. There's probably different roads that work for different people. So what we believe, how does it affect our lives? And if our words mean something, then what does our creed mean to us? Now, there are things in everyday life that people get pretty revved up about. And I won't even mention politics, but just safe things. Fords and Chevys, U of M versus state, contemporary music versus the old hymns, Pepsi versus Coke. And sometimes we just say things that are nice to say, but they don't really mean anything, because what do we say to each other? We should get together sometime. How many people have you said that to and it never happened? Or maybe you said, I'll pray for you, and then we forget to pray. So what about when we are in church and we recite the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What does that really mean to us? It's a familiar creed. And I know we usually have a copy in the bulletin because there's a few different versions. Not that that's changed anything, but that puts us all on the same page. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator, maker of heaven and earth. What does it mean to us? And the reason I ask that question is it has to mean something. Otherwise, it just becomes a ritual, something that we just do without thinking about it. We can kind of rattle it off along with the people around us, and we don't give a lot of thought to what we are saying. When I start off by saying, I believe, it means that whatever follows is I believe that to be true. I trust it. I have confidence in it. I rely on it. I depend on it. It's genuine. And so when I say I believe in God, the Father Almighty, this God we're talking about is then the Father of everything. Do I believe that? Do I believe that God the Father is the Father of everything, everyone, the Creator God? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about God being omnipotent, all-powerful. Well, when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, that's an omnipotent God. So do we believe what we say? Why is this a challenge? Well, we're free-spirited people. We live in undisciplined times. We kind of resist or reject restrictions. We don't like absolutes. We like to choose. We like to have lots of choices. Matter of fact, we have so many choices, makes life hard. Go to the cereal aisle. Which one do you pick? I don't shop for a lot of shoes, but there's shoe stores all over the place, and there's all kinds of shoes. And I seldom buy a purse, but it's the same thing. Life was real simple many years ago in that respect. I grew up in a small town, Woodstock, Ontario. We had one radio station, 1340 AM CKOX. It came on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it went off the air at sundown. So there was a variation between summer and winter. Well, it was pretty simple. We never asked, so what do you want to listen to? We either listened to that or nothing. And then finally, we told you before, we didn't have television real early, but we finally got TV, and it was a lot like here. You had three stations, we had three stations. Right? And that was it. But wasn't that a lot easier than having 1,000 stations and wondering what are you going to see and what are we going to binge on? Do we want to see all of this? Or is it a new show? Or let's do the old repeats again. What are we going to do? What are we going to look at? And then there's another 50 news shows who will give you all kinds of information about all kinds of stuff, which is just their ideas. And it gets mind-boggling. And I haven't even talked about music, where you can download thousands of songs because we like to pick and choose. And so we have all this variety. And now with our cell phones, which have such great cameras, better than our old cameras used to be, you ever notice people take pictures of everything and they're recording life? And I always think, who's ever going to watch this? Who's ever going to watch this? I have a friend, his daughter played volleyball. He recorded everything she did, both in practice and in games. And I asked him, she's an adult now. I asked him once, I said, so how much time you spending watching all that? He said, well, they're in a closet somewhere. Yeah. Life is to be lived, not to be recorded. Every moment. But we like to have all these choices. Why? Because actually in our own right, we too are creators and we're designers. We like to do things our own way. And so likewise in religion, because this carries over into our Christianity, and we like to design our own God. A God that we would really like. That now this is in quite a contrast to the God of the Bible. God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who is absolute and changes not. So, between creating our own God and what the Apostles' Creed starts off with, as we're looking at that from the Heidelberg Catechism, it starts off of, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Almighty. And God is almighty in every area, but it really specifies here in creation and in redemption. Creation and redemption. And I don't know if there's anything bigger. When we acknowledge that God created all things, we acknowledge that He is God the Father Almighty. See, it's just really basic logic. If there was somebody bigger than God who had created some of the stuff, then God wouldn't be God the Father Almighty. He'd be second in charge. So the opening line to the Apostles' Creed is momentous. Oh, we're so used to it. We've said it so many times. But it's momentous because it addresses creation versus evolution. You know, we've kind of been asleep at the wheel with this whole evolution thing, and it's not that big a deal, don't cause a lot of waves, just, you know, kind of let it slide a little bit. But this Apostles' Creed, what it starts off with, is addresses creation versus evolution and all other theories. Evolution is a theory, never forget that. They try to teach it as science, it's not. And all other theories about how we came to be, how we came about. Never overlook that the evolution argument goes way beyond the origin of the world. It's much bigger and much deeper than God, than that. God created the heavens and the earth, what? As a manifestation of his love to us. And why did he do that? Psalm 8, we're his crowning glory. Everything he did for us. And we accept it humbly, not in an arrogant manner, but he did it so we would have a place to live and glorify him. A place to live and glorify him, our Father. We hear a lot about outer space and aliens and who's coming in and who's watching us and tracking sounds out there and see what it's all about. I've come across a couple of verses that I really like. One is from Psalm 115 and is verses 15 and 16a. And I just share it with you, but it's a good one to have just kind of in your pocket. It says, may you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As you read the Bible, that comes up very often. The maker of heaven and earth. God isn't handing that off. He says, I am the maker of heaven and earth. But listen to this. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, so that's the entire universe. But the earth he has given to mankind. So people can have lots of theories and speculations, but the scripture says, everything belongs to God, but the earth he has given to mankind. I'm real comfortable with that. And then Isaiah kind of says something similar to it. And that's Isaiah 45, verses 12 and 18. God speaking. He said, it is I. God says this so often. It is I who made the earth and created mankind on it. Okay, he made the earth, he put us on it. My own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshal their starry host. In other words, I control all of it. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens. Okay, I repeat, in case you didn't get it, the one who created the heavens, he who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. Listen to this. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He formed it to be inhabited so that we could survive here. All the things we hear about the distance, the sun from the earth, the atmosphere, the oxygen, all of that. That's by design. So that we could live here. It could be inhabited by us. And then he concludes that by saying, I am the Lord, there is no other. I am the Lord. There is no other. Don't you get excited when you think about this is the God that we worship, that has done all of this stuff. There is no one like him. The magnitude of who God is phenomenal. And then he knows us by name. He cares about us that much. So his grandeur and then his intimacy is just phenomenal. We really can't get our minds around it. But that's how who he is and how much he loves us. So the big question, is there a God, a heavenly Father who created everything out of nothing? Is there or isn't there? I come across this story. It's probably longer than it should be, but I want to share it with you because I thought it was cute, okay? The story is told, just to suspend reality a little bit. The story is told of a group of elite scientists who got together and agreed that they had finally unlocked all the secrets of the universe. So they decided to meet with God and tell God they were impressed by all that he had done. But they were confident they could carry on just as well without him. So God met with the scientists and heard them out, and it disappointed God to think that after all he had done, they didn't need him. But God, being a loving God, didn't want to harbor hard feelings, so he accepted their decision and wished them well. But just before they parted company, God said, "Before I turn the whole creation over to you and bow out of this picture, what do you say if we have a little contest? I'll match my creative skills with yours. Whoever turns out to be the most creative will continue to run the universe." Well, the scientists looked at each other and smiled, thinking to themselves, hey, with the power of computer-generated imagery and our AI technology, this will be easy. God's just got ancient ways of how he did stuff. So they said, sure, first thing tomorrow morning, we'll have a showdown. Winner take all. You're on, God said. I'll see you in the morning. Don't forget, we start with nothing. We start with nothing. That's what makes God so amazing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. That cannot be duplicated in any way. We don't even know what it means to create something out of nothing. We always need something to begin with. So in reality, we have never ever created anything. We have designed things with what God has created. But he created out of nothing. The pride in man, our pride, protests the acceptance of a creator. Why do we protest that? Because just in everyday life, if you create something, you believe you own it. And we don't want to be owned by anybody. Not even God. So what happens if we reject him? What if we do not give our due to the one who can do what he wants? Isn't it amazing that God can do what he wants without explanation, and he doesn't have to consult us first? Without explanation or reason. And so we read about that in Lord's Day 9. And so that's your insert in today's bulletin, in case you wondered if I'd ever get to it. Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. And I'll read the question, and then we'll read. You'll read the answer responsively. What do you believe when you say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth"? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. Those last two lines are really important too. You know, I think it's Psalm 62 ends with the lines that God is both loving and he is strong. Be really thankful that God is loving and strong, or as here it says, almighty and faithful. Because if he was just one or the other, then our place in the universe would become really dangerous. If he was just strong, he'd be a tyrant. He could do whatever he wanted without any care for us. If he was just loving, he, for lack of a better term, he'd be like a lapdog, but he couldn't protect you. But the fact that he's the combination of loving and strong, or like it says here, almighty and faithful, that's for our benefit. That's our blessing. So this Lord's Day 9 talks about God's counsel, his wisdom, his faithfulness. So, when we profess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, we need to deal with the rule of God. His providence, His provision, His love, His judgment. If we want to accept His salvation. See, this is a package deal. If we want to accept who He is and everything that comes with it, we have to accept that God is our Creator, and then He really instructs us in how to live in relationship to Him. Now, many of us do want to have Jesus as our Savior. Do we want Him to be Lord of our lives? And this again speaks about this. And so that's why creation is a big deal. Creation goes beyond just bringing things into existence, as huge as that is. But it's the relational part of God the Creator with us, His people. That is why the church, we are the church. That is why the church needs to object zealously, not fearfully, to the theory of evolution. I can't imagine how confusing it is for younger people who sit in the classroom and learn about evolution as factual science, and then realize that, yeah, on Sunday I say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So which is it? How do I live in both worlds? Or do I just, no big deal, I do it both? We've done a huge disservice. We've capitulated. We've given ground over and over and over, rather than standing firmly on the truth of what the Scriptures teach. So we need to object to the theory of evolution. If there is no Creator God, then there is no Redeemer Son, Jesus Christ. We just read that in the question and answer we read. And if there is no accountability to anyone, then there is no salvation. And if there's no salvation, there's no eternal life. You see how everything collapses? If God is not our Creator and the Creator of the universe. Now look at the moral freefall that we are living in as we try to rid God from our culture. We see it in politics, we see it in education, in relationships, in our values, and so it's manifested in all of our behaviors. But God is our Creator. This is why this is so critical. God is our Creator, gives our lives dignity. This is all about the sanctity of human life. God as our Creator gives us dignity, but God as our Creator is also the bedrock of morality. Without God, we have no moral basis. The Bible is all about morality. Our sinful nature is such that we are rebellious people who want to live our own way against what God our Creator instituted. We always want human choice. We have new and improved ideas for God. It would have been better if you would have done it this way. Did you think about this? How about this? And I'm charting my own course. I think this will work well for me. We like our own freedom over God's instructive wisdom. We live in America. We like choice. We like to choose as we please. In reality, all things, including us, depend on God as a Creator for our very existence. Not just our existence, but also our basic rights. Secular progressives are working hard to remove our Creator from our nation, and that we will then lose the endowment. Yeah, the endowment of our inalienable rights, all in the name of freedom. And then you have special interest groups who determine what our inalienable rights are. When we get rid of God as our Creator, there is no basis for our ethics. You ever think about that? If we get rid of God as our Creator, we get rid of the Bible as a foundation, we have no basis for our ethics. The absence of the fear of God removes any incentive for right living. And with no fear of judgment, what is there to stop us from acting on our worst impulses? And if you want any ideas about what that looks like, just read the book of Judges. It says, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Now, the Scripture is clear about creation. That's why we read out of Colossians that verse 16 is really paramount. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, things visible and invisible, Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So it's God all in all. And then Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that God, that universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of that which was invisible, out of nothing. God started with nothing. See, this whole thing is like a domino effect. If we have no creator, we have no accountability. No one to be accountable, and with that, we have no purpose. No purpose in life. Albert Camus, maybe you've heard of him. He was an atheist, a philosopher, an author. He died in 1960. You catch the part, he's an atheist, right? He said there's only one serious question in life. Do I commit suicide or don't I? That's the only serious question. That's what it's all about. People who live for themselves often end up being really disappointed. They're left empty with no real contentment or fulfillment. Because the question is, without a God, why are we here? What gives us purpose for being here? Well, you've heard of Richard Dawkins, an atheist, who wrote a book, and he's quite an accomplished biologist. But in his book, Out of Eden, he said the only reason we are here is for the survival of the species. Survival of the species. So that we can pass our genes onto the next generation. That, of course, leads to all kinds of secular thinking. That get all you can, enjoy all the pleasure you can, get fame and fortune, do the best you can. But most of all, and this will help you understand why it's such a strong movement by so many people that really are not Christian Bible-based, with saving the planet. Yes, we are called to be stewards of the earth. God is really clear about that. But he made a promise to Noah that the planet, the earth, would survive until he chose that it was going to end. We can't save the planet, nor can we destroy it. Because if we trust what the Word of God says, we can rest secure in that. Good stewards? Absolutely. This movement is really a false religion. Be very, very careful with it. Very careful with it. For the believer, our primary purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's why we're here. That's why we come together Sunday mornings. That's why we worship during the week. That's why we praise Him. This is the purpose. This is why we exist. To praise God and enjoy Him forever. In our Creator, we have purpose, value, direction, destiny. To quote Chuck Colson, he said, "The evolution controversy isn't just about science. It's about whether our lives are governed by God or by a roll of the cosmic dice." See, if there's no God, everything's chance. Everything's chance and happenstance. Now, there's consequence for godless thinking, which is not new. If you thought anything I shared this morning was new, then turn with our... Yeah, you can turn with me. It's Romans 1, 18-21. But 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this. "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Do you know when we deny God as creator, we are suppressing the truth? "Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. God has manifested himself in creation. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." Being understood from what has been made, that's creation. You sometimes hear people say, okay, what about people that have never heard? The Bible says that everyone has seen the hand of God, and it says those people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave him thanks. But their thinking was futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You can choose to deny God as the creator of everything, but it puts you on perilous ground. On perilous ground. And so to accept God as our creator, it only makes sense through Jesus Christ and his revelation. Then I can trust him and not doubt that he'll provide what I need for body and soul. That's what we just read, right? He'll provide for body and soul. So when I say I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, this points to my relationship with him and his relationship with me. So would this not translate into respect and awe and reverence and submission and gratitude and worship? Worship for God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And because he is a faithful Father, we read that, he's a faithful Father, I can trust him with everything. He'll supply my every need, today, tomorrow, and all of my tomorrows, right into eternity. If this is your creed, please stand with me, it's in your bulletin, and we'll read this together. If you're able to stand, we will read the creed together. Be very conscious of what you're reading and ask yourself, do I really, really believe this? Saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the richness of your word and how clear you make it. Give us soft hearts, moldable hearts, that we can respond to your truths and know that you are our creator, that you are our redeemer, you are our sustainer, and you are the only one that can promise us eternity in your presence. I pray that you would use this message in any way you see fit. If there's things I said that weren't pleasing to you, would you delete them from our hearts? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.